Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist, where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I'm your host, Sharvis Whitted. I want to thank you again for stopping by for episode 8. And you know, the purpose of this show, I want to always reiterate this, is not to downplay skill or the tools and the technology we use for creative arts ministry, but it is to shine a light on what I believe is the starting point, not only for creative arts ministry, but any ministry, anything we're going to do for God, and that is the heart. The main scripture for this show, I say it all the time, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. God sees the heart first. Got to remember that. God sees the heart first. And David, the poster child for creativity in the Bible, told his son Solomon something very important I read recently. It's found in 1 Chronicles 28:9. He told him, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. So the heart is brought into focus. But something else also stuck out to me when I read that verse recently. It's the word serve. And this is the Hebrew word abad, meaning to work. And sometimes it's translated to cultivate, to till, to perform, and even to worship, depending on the context. So David is telling his son that being king involves work. And that makes sense. Just like us as creatives, the things that we do involve work. We have to put our hand to the plow. We've got to till some things. We've got to cultivate some things that are creative. But according to David, it has to be more than an external act. It's got to be more than that. There must be a willing mind and a heart completely devoted to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. And our topic is, are you busy or devoted? Let that sink in. Are you, Mr. Miss Creative, are you busy doing things for the Lord, or are you devoted to Him? Let's talk about this. So I think the story of Mary and Martha found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 really captures this thought, really captures what I want to talk about today. And it portrays the difference between being busy doing things for the Lord and being devoted. Very different. So this is a very familiar story, so I'm going to summarize it. So Mary and Martha, they're sisters, and in Luke chapter 10, they open their home to Jesus as he travels with his disciples, and they come to their home, and Martha, she hurries to ensure that everything is prepared for Christ. She's in the kitchen, she's cleaning up, doing a lot of good stuff. She's busy. But Mary, in contrast, is simply sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his wisdom, listening to his voice. So Mary represents for us today devotion, and Martha represents busyness. Are you busy or are you devoted? So let's dig into this story a bit more. Now, verse 40, this is Luke chapter 10, verse 40, if you want to turn there. It says that Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She was doing a lot. She was busy to the point of distraction. So all this work that she was doing for Jesus caused her to be distracted. Now, again, if we go to the Greek language, the word that's translated distraction, we get some incredible insight. The word is parispao, and it means to draw away. You see, Martha's work drew her away from Christ. Duty had replaced devotion in that moment. Wow. Can you see it? And this is exactly what happens to many, many who work in the local church ministry, especially those of us involved in music and creative arts, media, and production. We're so busy because we're asked to do so much. I mean, think about ministry these days. Who doesn't have a website? Who isn't producing videos? Sound is involved. Okay, we're using stems, live tracks behind the music. We have rehearsals 2 to 3 times a week. We have music that we have to prepare for multiple services each week. There are planning meetings with our team and also with leadership in the church that we have to attend, many of us weekly. And then there are concerts and special programs like Easter, New Year's, Christmas, etc. So if you're in creative arts ministry, you are busy. So that means that we are at a higher risk of becoming like Martha. So busy, so preoccupied with what we have to do with tilling and with cultivating, with performing, that those things that we do actually replace the thing that is most necessary. That is devotion to Christ, what Mary embodied, placing a priority on sitting at his feet, fellowshipping with him, chasing after his heart, knowing him. If we're not careful, all the things that we do can replace this. So now I want to give you, my listeners, 3 signs that busyness is replacing devotion in your life. 3 things I want you to look out for that point to the fact that you're getting too busy and less devoted. So here's the first thing. When you begin to lose sight of the people. The whole story of Martha and Mary started with Martha inviting Jesus into their home. That's why she was making all the preparations. He was the guest of honor. He was there. But she lost sight of that because she was so busy. I think we at times, as creatives serving in local church ministry, treat the congregants the same way. We get so entangled in our creative work that we lose sight of the very people Jesus gifted us to serve. We even at times, like Martha, get angry at those who serve with us and even the congregation when we feel our creative goals aren't met or that maybe the congregation isn't responding to something creative that we've worked on. Those are all signs that the people that God has called you to serve, the people that he died on the cross for, have taken a back seat to your creative ambition. Remember, Jesus died for souls, not songs. That's the first one. Here is the second sign. When creative accomplishment brings more joy than communion with Christ. When creative accomplishment brings more joy than communion with Christ. See, Martha wanted everything in the house to be perfect, to the point that she became troubled, distraught, and frustrated when they weren't. But how could anyone feel that way when they were in the presence of Jesus? How could you not have joy if Jesus is in your house? I mean, is there any source of peace and contentment greater than him? So yes, we should strive for creative excellence, but not for joy, but rather in response to the joy and the excellence that is in Christ Jesus who dwells in our hearts. So that's the second reason. Here's the last one. This is a big one. When time at the feet of Jesus takes a back seat to our creative work. When time at the feet of Jesus takes a back seat to our creative work. Now, I said this earlier in the episode. I get it. We're very busy as creatives. We're asked to do a lot. So much. But never allow anything to become more important than time at the feet of Jesus. And hey, if you're so busy that you don't have time to pray and to have a personal devotion and daily open the Word of God, then my brother, my sister, you've got some adjustments to make. And I'm talking from personal experience. Let me give you two things that I had to do in my own life recently. So I started in 2018 teaching a group piano class. And this is close to my heart. I love training musicians, but I got super busy. You know, I work a regular job and I work a ministry job. I have a family. Then I was doing this on Saturday. You know, one day my wife pointed out to me, she said, "Sweetie, you only have one day off a month." I was so busy. My calendar was so full that I barely had time for my family. And I didn't have time to really dig into my devotion with God like I needed to and like I wanted to. So you know what I had to do? I had to cut out that class. And amazingly, it's amazing how God works. When I told my students, they said, "You know what? We all were thinking the same thing. We're too busy as well." Amazing how God worked that out. Now, here's another example. So in 2018, I set a goal. I wanted to make sure that every day I opened the Word of God and read. And I decided to use the Bible app to track this. If you know about the Bible app, you can open the app up every day. They have a lot of devotionals, and it just can help you develop what they call streaks. So I was doing great. I started February 2018, and I got to 50 days. Then I got to 100 days. Then I got to 150 days. I mean, I was rolling. It was very motivating. And then on three occasions, something happened. My streak got interrupted. Now, the first time, it was because I opened the app up when I wasn't connected to Wi-Fi. And I called the developer and they reset my streak. Great, we're going. So I'm pushing, I'm pushing, I'm pushing. I think I was in the 200s. Lo and behold, it happened again. But this time I read, but I read using a different app and I forgot to open up my Bible app. So I emailed them, I pleaded my case, and here they go. They reset it again for me, so I'm good to go. Then I got to 442 days, and it happened again. I forgot to open the app, and oh my goodness, I was distraught. I'm at 442 days. I mean, this is over a year of work. I was distraught. I told my wife I was upset, behaving like Martha. I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me these words: "I care more about the time you spend with me than I do the streak." And in that moment, I realized I'd made the same mistake Martha had. I was distracted, so worried about maintaining a streak on an app that I'd forgotten why I was reading daily in the first place. It wasn't about maintaining a streak and posting it so everybody could see how many days in a row I was reading. It was about consistently communing with Christ. And I just let it go. And I'm to the point now where, hey, if I miss a day and I don't open the app, no worries. Because if I still spent time with God, that's what matters to Him. So as I prepare to bring this show to a close, I want to share with you a quote from one of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer. If you are a student of worship, make it a point to pick up some of his materials. I want to read a quote to you from a book that captures a lot of his thoughts on worship. This particular book is what happened to worship, whatever happened to worship. And here's what it says. I am of the opinion that we should not be concerned about working for God until we have learned the meaning and the delight of worshiping Him. A worshiper can work with eternal quality in his work, but a worker who does not worship is only piling up wood, hay, and stubble for the time when God sets the world on fire. I fear that there are many professing Christians who do not want to hear such statements about their busy schedule, but it is the truth. God is trying to call us back to that for which He created us, to worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. It is then, out of our deep worship, that we do His work. What a profound statement. You see, God did not create us for work. He created us, first and foremost, for worship. To know Him intimately and to love Him with all of our hearts. And then, out of that devotion for Him, we work for Him. Not to be busy, but because we love Him and are devoted to Him. God isn't looking for workers. He's searching for those with hearts perfect towards Him, worshipers who work for Him. Amen. Well, that's all today for this show of Heart of the Psalmist. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, don't be busy. Be devoted. We'll see you next time. God bless.